my joy, all of my peace, all of my purpose. All of the confidence in knowing that it's working. All of the healing in the middle of the hurting. At the end of the story, all the glory he's deserving. The battle's on, I know that it's for real. I'm standing on the rock that never shakes. The dark is always gonna try to steal, but I'm not afraid. I put my hope in love that never fades. 'Cause what the Lord gives, the world can't take. I hold on to the promise he will bring. 'Cause what the Lord gives, the world can't take away.
Now, that is my new favorite song. Just by the way, love it. Die Hilux speakers kan dit nie handle nie. It's pumping. But what the Lord gives, the world cannot take away. You must listen to the rest of that song. It's lekker, like my sons will put it. It what? Nou dink ek onthou nie. Slaps. It slaps. All right, it slaps. It definitely slaps. All right, now before I start, I have a gift for a man. A beard shaving, armpit hair growing man. Who wants it? Do you shave? Just want to check your armpit hair. Can we check? I'm going to hide that stuff. It's okay. There's a gift for you, bro. It's wrapped by a man for a man. So what do you think of it? Does it look awesome? It looks like newspaper. Are you happy to receive your gift? You're making a mess, man. What are you doing here? Is there something in there? You don't think so? Ah! I say, thanks, Stephen. Enjoy. I want to read a scripture this morning. James 1 verse 17 says this. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. The TPT version says it this way. Every gift God freely gives us is good and perfect, streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness and is never subject to change. The NIV says, every good and perfect gift, I hope you get it by now, is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, whom does not change like shifting shadows. Amen. Nah? You know, I want to bring your attention this morning to the fact that we are serving a God who is a gift-giving God. All right? And what I love about the scripture, and the thing that we miss sometimes in the scripture, is the fact that this Father of lights who give these great gifts, there is no variation or shadow of turning. Yet in times like this, it is the one thing that people doubt, question. Is God faithful? Will He come through with me? Will I die? Etc., etc. We start questioning the fact whether God is faithful. The scripture makes it very clear. There is no shadow of change. You know, no, he's so steadfast that even if he's standing in the sun, his shadow will not move. That's what it says. Now, you try and stand still like that. He is through the ages, through the generations, our God has been faithful. No change. Rock solid. His promises and everything doesn't shift. It's true. Yet in our minds, based on what we see and experience in our lives, we think He changes. You know what? It's only you that change. You that move out of the light. You that move into the shadows. You that choose to do stuff that you shouldn't. Listen to stuff you shouldn't. Read stuff you shouldn't. Etc., etc., etc. It's us that change. Not you. But he says every good and perfect gift. Do you want to receive gifts? So there's three. I want to see the rest of you when you get on your birthday or Christmas. I don't know. I love receiving gifts. I love the anticipation. I hate being disappointed in a gift because sometimes you get stuff you don't like. Like when people give me a book. Just by the way, they never give me a book. I will go, yes, thank you, awesome, buy a donkey. And yeah. And my wife will read it. So, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. We have a God who is a gift-giving God. And you know, as I was preparing for this, we're going to look at a few things this morning. I realize how faithful our God is. How amazing God is to actually give us stuff that this world cannot take away. And for me, that is the point of this morning. We have received gifts that this world cannot take away. There's nothing the devil can do to remove that from you. The only way Stephen is going to lose that gift is if he gives it away. Or he leaves it there and he leaves. The fact is, God is a gift-giving God. You just need to receive the stuff. Own it. Use it. It's like giving me a book. I won't use it. Give it to Loretta. She will consume it. Give me something for my bucky. I will use it. And God knows who you are. And everything He gives us is pertaining to your life, to godliness, to victory. Everything that He gives us, this giving God that is perfect and good is for each one of us. Thing is, we need to receive it. Maybe we should remind ourselves of it a bit. Amen? The thing is, gifts are free. Stephen, did you work for that gift? Is it because you're doing media and running the youth and praying that I gave you the gift? Now, you actually got up and came to fetch it. So you didn't work for it. There's a scripture actually in Romans 4 verse 4 that says this. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. So your boss doesn't go every month and go like, oh, you are so awesome, I'll pay you. No, right? When you go to a company, you say, this is the amount of hours, this is the skill I have, this is the pay I want. What happens if they don't pay you? You leave, right? But what if you volunteer? Different ball game, right? You are saying, here I am. Now, a gift is exactly that. You have not worked for it. It is not a wage. It's not something that you get because you did something else. It is a free gift. These gifts that God gives us is a free gift. And I want to remind you that the devil cannot take it away. And I want us to just remind ourselves this morning of the gifts that we receive from our Father. I'm just going to look at a few. You can do this study. There is a lot. Okay? The first one is grace. Romans 3, 23 to 24 says this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all know that part of the scripture. And then it goes on in verse 24. And are justified by His grace as a gift. Wow. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4 verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. What's the acronym for grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. We got everything we shouldn't have got. We got eternal life, etc., and the stuff we're going to look at. Everything we should get, which is death and eternal damnation because of our sin, we did not get. Christ bought for us everything. The first thing, that the gift that we receive, that we can rejoice in, that we can passionately walk in, is the fact that we are saved. We have received God's grace. You have to pause. You have to think about that. You have to go study grace and understand the full impact of that in your life. Just the freedom that it brings. And I always say, I'm so grateful for grace because if this was the Old Testament, then probably the earth would have opened up somewhere and we would not be here. Right? Because the truth is we messed up. If we try and keep in God's laws and doing stuff, I mean, if the Israelites, who is his chosen people, could not do it, how will we do it? It's like this, genoeg nou, champ. Jy het nou terug, maar open the earth. Or fire out of heaven, or you know, who knows what. We would have been gone. And the only reason why we are, and can you just, you know, we're all talking about, this is definitely the end times. The only reason why Jesus has not pitched yet is God's grace. His love is going, oh, please repent. Please come back to me. I want to save you. Just turn around, man. See, look at me. His heart for the nations withholds his judgment at this time. This world is messed up. We know it. Grace is the only reason why we are here. It's also one of the reasons that people think they can do what they want and live like they want because grace will be there. But we still serve a just God. And listen, he's drawn the line in the sand. And that's when things are going to get interesting. But the first free gift that we have received is grace. The second one I want to say is salvation. Huh? Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of your own doing. You did not work for it. You did not earn it. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We have received salvation. You have received. Just think of what that means to you. The fact that you are saved from eternal separation from God. We're going to spend eternity with him. And the devil cannot take that away. Yes, he can kill your flesh. But he cannot steal this, the fact that you are saved. You know, if I think about the disciples, they did some hair-raising stuff. But they were not scared. I mean, come on, let's crucify a few of you upside down after we've tortured you. It sounds like a nice way to die. And yet there, they proclaim Christ. I mean, if you go look at the disciples' deaths, it's horrific. That didn't cause them to stop. Yet now I think we are not so secure in our salvation that even in this time as Christians, and generally I'm speaking in the world, we are going like, Urgots. You know, we're hiding in our houses. Interesting thing, question. I asked it yesterday at the almost life encounter. Some of the people didn't pitch, so we had to cancel it. But tell me quickly, who had someone over to Braai except your family? In the last 2 weeks. In this crowd, there's one. Weet julle of julle het julle iemand oorgenooi vir 'n braai? Was julle actually daar? It's like, wait, honey, are we sure? Honey, did we invite someone? I'm not sure if they... But the thing is, yeah, we have become so isolated that we actually don't even braai anymore. Dear South Africa, that's wrong. Braai is what we do, people. I want to say this. You know, I realized this week in some chatting with some people that church cannot be just about this meeting and small group. If it's about that, then we must be careful that this is becoming religion. You see, if I'm not hanging with people, if I'm not discipling people, if I'm not, you know, most of the best discipleship opportunities happens around the dining room table. Or next to a braai. Or when you're fishing or camping together. The devil is robbing us. And we don't know it. And I think we must catch a wake up. Saints, kom ons braai. It's one of the Bible says you must make sacrifices unto the Lord. Just don't brand my steak, okay? This is the okay. The next free gift we have, and this is for me as a biggie, is eternal life. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin, and this is what we should have got, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If you received Him as your Lord and Savior, you have eternal life. In plain English, that means you're going to live forever in His presence. No, your body's not going to make it. It's been cancelled due to a lack of interest. That thing is, you know, expiry dates on it. But you're going to leave this vehicle here. And we're going to have eternal life in His presence. Are you looking forward to it? Okay, I know there's a few guys that are going like, okay, Lord, you know, rapture is good. Let's just escape this thing now. But that's not what we are. While we are here, we can rest assured, having this hope that we will be with Him for eternity. We will live with Him. We have eternal life as a gift. Free. You did nothing for it. Just think of this. How, if you really understand the fact that you have grace, you've got salvation, you've got eternal life, how will that actually change the way that we walk? Your boldness. You know, God is clearly speaking to us even through the worship this morning about fear. You know, if He wants to deal with the fear in your life, how does this transform and change that situation? How does that make us bold? Knowing that even if I die, I don't die. That's why Paul can write, you know, to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's a bold statement. That's really a bold statement. But I believe we can carry that in our hearts, not because we are, you know, doing mental ascent and convincing ourselves, because we are secure in the Word of God. We understand the purposes of God for our lives at this time. The next free gift God gives us is this one, is ministry purpose. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and the callings of God is irrevocable. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 to 7 says this, for this reason I remind you to fan in the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You see, when God grants you gift, when He calls you to something, and the reality is we all called to do something from the kingdom point of view at this time. He's not going to withhold it. He's given it to you. He's given you this purpose. He wants you to walk in it. And it doesn't help that we're hiding. You know, I think one of the biggest things that I find very frustrating at this time as a pastor is trying to get some form of momentum and encouragement and running together. Because just as we get it right, we get locked up. You know how moeilijk that is? We can only do so much ministry over a YouTube link. It frustrates me. Therefore, I think when the gates are open, you know, it's like wild horses. I feel like, you know, open the gates, I want to run. Just give me some space. But I don't want to run alone. I hate that. Okay? God has given us purpose. And we have not received the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control. And I want to remind you to fan into flame. You know, this is you fanning your own gift into flame. Not me standing next to you going, come on. Yes, there's that too. But can you please take ownership of your own gift and fan that thing into flame? Some of you sit here with prophetic callings and leadership callings and teaching callings and stuff, and you're sitting on it. Stop it. Let's get on with stuff. And I'm straight now. Because the kingdom needs to advance. The kingdom is not stationary. It's not in a harbor. It's not sitting still. The kingdom is advancing. And Corona is getting us to sit. Can we move on? We have received ministry purpose as a gift. Can we fan that into flame at this time? Can we encourage one another? Can we go to those that's around us? Come on, buddy. You know, if you have to get some fine wood and fire in there, let's do that. You know what I miss just about, and I've had a few chats this week. It's lucky to meet with people, but where we were able to encourage one another in the faith. You know, where there's a moment where we talk nonsense and then there's that space where we actually go like, yeah, but and we can share scripture and encourage one another and go like, yeah. And I walk away refreshed, feeling, yes, I received something. And there was an impartation into my life from this other person, which is beautiful. We had our regional meeting earlier in the week, and it's so cool to sit with the other pastors, and we share our struggles, but then we share scripture, and we encourage one another, and we pray for one another. It's awesome. Our leaders' camp that we have, I cannot tell you how refreshing that was to hike together up the mountain, to sit there in the presence of the Lord together, to come back and sit around the table and then encourage one another with scripture. What God shared with me, I want to share it with you, and it brings life. We were fanning into flame the call that God has placed upon us in that place. The next one, the gift that we receive is spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4 says this. Now there is a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service. Notice that. But the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now what is that gifts that we are receiving? You see, because this is the stuff that God gives us that we need to walk in. And here they are. An utterance of wisdom, and it's not on there. An utterance of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits, various kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. That is the free gifts that God grants us, that gives us, that we are supposed to walk in. That He wants us to, that He desires for us to walk in. Can we exercise? Can we walk? Can we live in this gift that God has given? It's given to you. The devil cannot take it. The world cannot take it away from you. You have received this gift. It is yours. Don't do what Stephen's going to do and leave that thing now in that paper and on his shelf. He goes like, I got a gift. It's an awesome gift. You must see my gift. It's wrapped in newspaper. What does that mean? It means nothing. In order for him to actually enjoy that gift, he actually needs to open it. Firstly, and then use it. Can you open the spiritual gifts that God has given you? Can you unpack them? Can you start playing with them, using them, risking it? So many times in our Christian walk, we are so scared to risk it. What if I fail? Oh, that's the devil already there. Listen, come. When you go like, you know, you get some wisdom for someone. Let's use the first one. Eh? Or knowledge that God says, I want you to share this with that person. What's your first thought? That cannot be right. What if I miss it? You know, oh, shakalaka. What if you are right? What if God is actually speaking and you're risking and this guy goes, God just spoke to me. Imagine the transformation that will bring. Imagine if we here can go, listen, I've got a word for you from the Lord. This is what God is saying about your situation, blah, blah, blah. What will change? Huh? What if it's gifts of healing or supernatural faith that operates here in this congregation? What will shift? Open the gifts. Can we encourage one another not to sit on them, but to open them? We have been given these gifts. The next one, which I alluded to earlier, was impartation. Romans 1 verse 11 says, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Wow. That is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I look forward to imparting something to you. I look forward to encourage you. I actually look forward to you imparting something to me as well, where your faith inspires my faith. And we can go like, yeah, let's do this. Do you miss that? Or is it just me? And that's what's so beautiful. It's the last 2 weeks where I sat with people and we could talk and encourage one another's faith. You know, it ignited me. I'll be honest, I'm standing here, I'm trying to go like, Kubus, down boy. You just need to be chilled, bro. Because my flesh is feeling too small for my spirit at this time. I just want to go. Yeah, down. Might get messy. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says this. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. What is the purpose of your gift? It's to serve one another. You see, we're supposed to impart into one another life. We're supposed to call greatness from one another. We're supposed to go, I can see this on your life. You know, and if you go like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And the truth is, we all have that moments where we think, you know, I'm not equipped to do this. That's when you need those around you that goes, can I impart some form of spiritual gift to you? Can we encourage one another in the faith? The next one is leadership. Ephesians 4 verse 8. Therefore it says, he has ascended on high and led hosts of captives, and he gave gifts to men. What is those gifts that he gave to men? He gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the gift that he gave us. And listen, why did he do that? Why did he take the time to put that in place? Why did he give that gift to us as Christians? Yeah, if you read further in that, and it's not on there, but it's, you can read that. I don't put it on there so you can read your Bible. Okay? So why that gift is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So leadership is there, the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, etc. is there. Why? To equip you to do ministry, to inspire you, to help you, encourage one another to go and let we see the harvest coming in. Okay? For the building up of the body of Christ. Remember, we are his body. So that's our function. To attain unity in the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, for us to dwell together in the unity of faith, to better understand who our God is, the Son of God who has come. Till we reach mature manhood and the full stature of Christ, of fullness in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that? That's what, where we should be. You know, there's some of you that's sitting here with, you know, Lorette's teacher anointing sometimes just, she blows my mind. Because we can read the same scripture and she goes, yeah, but have you seen this? And then I go like, yeah. Love it. Love it. I feel stupid sometimes. But I love her gift. She wants me to cry. In any case. And then it says that the last verse, part of that scripture, it says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. Saints, I think we can say there is some human cunningness, opinions, and stuff flying everywhere. We have received these gifts to enable us not to be thrown around, so that we can be mature in Christ, so that we can walk together. Luke 11:13 says this, if you then, who are evil, knows how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Can I just remind you that we have received the most precious gift of all ever, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, as that seal, as that guarantee, as the thing that makes it, the down payment that allows us to boldly walk in the promises of God. The fact that I know that God is real is His presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, that down payment, that guarantee in my life. I know that He's real. And the thing is here is, He gives Him freely. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. You know, maybe we should just ask, Holy Spirit, fill me up again. Let my cup run over. Have you seen that video clip of the glass standing under a tap that is black? And then they open the tap and the water starts running in. And in the beginning, it kind of just looked like one groot gemors, you know, just black everywhere. But the longer the tap runs, the clearer the glass gets. And I have that picture here in my mind when I think about, you know, my proximity to the Holy Spirit in the presence of God is as I sit under the tap of His presence in His holy place, it's like He just flushes out everything that is not of Him. And I think we must be honest with ourselves to say, but I've got a lot of junk in my life. And I need more of Him. And here's the thing. God says He gives Him to us. If you ask Him for the Holy Spirit to fill the... My word is not the min. To fill you up. To get out that stuff in our lives. Our lives will definitely look different when we sit under the tap. And I'm not saying that you're not, but maybe you sit under the trickle. The reality is, unless that water actually penetrates into that glass, now the water on top is just going to kind of just do something there. It's not going to do anything deep. But when I am in the presence of God, you know, a while back I sent out that letter and I attached to it that spiritual declarations. Just taking God's word and proclaiming it. You know, and there's a lot of I am in Christ kind of stuff there. You know, and so many times since that, I found myself in even like what I described, where I had to go back to that scripture and actually loudly and verbally proclaim that stuff to get the devil to back off. I think it's a time, and I'm convinced in my spirit, and I said this to the guys yesterday, it is a time for us to actually take the sword of the Spirit out of its sheath and start wielding the Word of God, the truth of God, with all our might. You know, it's like we've all been standing with our shield of faith going, help you. And our firing darts coming. Help me, just save me. It's a time to get out of that, behind our shield of faith. Put on that helmet of salvation. Put on that belt of truth. Some shoes on our feet to proclaim the gospel. Take out that. Got goeie mind prentjie hierso. And then take up that shield and go. Wah! Sorry, YouTube. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Or are we going? It is time for us to arise, to walk in the gifts that God is giving us to take the land. Every foot, every place that the foot, sole of your foot will tread on will be yours. It is ours by birthright. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You know what? He conquered this world. He conquered this world. And so do we. Why are we afraid? You know, in this world we will face many things. But the world cannot take away what God gives. And we need to be secure in that. I think you must sit and consider what He has given you. Remind yourself. And then maybe you should put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know? Maybe we should dance before the Lord again. Maybe your worship time at home should not be the Bible reading in your bed when it's frack coat in the morning. and get out and dance before the Lord. That would be a thing. I want to encourage you to look up and recognize, where does your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord of hosts, God Almighty. And then I want to end with this scripture. It says in Mark 13, verse 31, says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. We can be secure in what God has in store for us. We can be secure in His promises. He doesn't move. He's not able to be shaken. He is rock solid. That's why He says, you know, He's the rock on which we build our lives. So when I build on the sandy stuff, when the rains and the flood comes, that it destroys that house, may we be able to stand because we are built on the rock. Our lives are solid in Him.